Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Festimai, good evening. Welcome to Tuesday's update. We'll take you through some of the main news before 5:30, including tonight the Chief Minister's statement that he issued in the House of Keys today on rising fuel prices. We'll bring you what he had to say and what it could mean for you. Also tonight, what is the latest in the ongoing bus dispute? The Commissioner's row in Peel rumbles on. Tonight we're going to hear from the local authority member raising concerns and also the board's response. And putting your knowledge to the test, new police recruits are organising a quiz night in Port Erin this Friday. All that, we'll take a look at the weather. Can you believe there's a yellow weather warning for wintry showers coming up? We'll also look at the traffic as well. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can email the studio, studio@manxradio.com. We'll start first of all, though, with a roundup of the main news headlines with Amy Festimai.
Festimai. The upward pressure affecting international fuel markets is now feeding through into the island's fuel supply. That's from the Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, who told the House of Keys this morning we'll see an increase in local fuel prices in the coming weeks.
There is no fuel supply shortage on the island, and there are currently no threats to our supply chain.
A Peel Town Commissioner is calling for an overhaul of how local authorities operate. Katrina Baptist says meeting minutes are often delayed and difficult to verify. She believes recording or broadcasting meetings would improve transparency.
There's no excuse, really. It means not only is there an accurate record, but anybody can take part. You know, those with disabilities, they should still be able to observe the meetings.
Peel Town Commissioner says Ms Baptist's comments are inaccurate and do not reflect the views of the board. The Infrastructure Minister's confirmed there'll be another ballot of Unite the Union members amid the ongoing bus strike. Tim Crookle told the House of Keys talks have been continuing with the union.
That will be up to the union when they want to hold that, and I'm sure it'll be fairly soon, and then we'll get the result on the back of that.
Tonight's sailing to Heysham has been cancelled because of the adverse weather forecast. It means its overnight return also won't run. The steam packet says tomorrow morning's crossing is also in doubt. A yellow weather warning's been issued for wintry showers and ice tomorrow morning. It'll be in place from 3 o'clock until midday. Turning to international news now, and Rachel Reeves says targeted support will be offered if energy prices rise due to the Middle East conflict, insisting help should go to those in the UK who need it most. The British Chancellor appears to have ruled out the kind of blanket support seen under the Tories in 2022, arguing it fuelled inflation. Vet costs are to be capped in the UK, with prescription fees limited to £21 under new rules from the competition watchdog. The changes aim to bring transparency and tackle rising prices for pet owners. And Royal Mail's owners apologise for ongoing delivery delays. Daniel Kretinsky admitted to MPs the service has been consistently below standard, with improvements dependent on reforms. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Amy. So now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. And we just heard about that yellow weather warning. It is for wintry showers and ice, and it comes into force from 3 o'clock tomorrow morning until midday tomorrow. So it's going to become quite cold tonight. Scattered showers later on and tomorrow morning will turn wintry, and there will be small accumulations of snow or hail, possibly on the highest roads. Also a risk of ice for a time too. So that's above 700 to 1,000. Feet. It's actually 13 years ago there was all that snow on the Isle of Man, do you remember? So generally this evening, sunny intervals at first, though showers developing later, heavy at times, further showers later on in the night, which as I say will turn wintry. Strong winds, they will touch gale force in a few places later tonight, that's why the sailings have been cancelled later. Lowest temperatures around 3 Celsius. Then tomorrow, blustery, a strong wind only beginning to ease towards dusk. Otherwise, they'll be bright, so that's nice. Sunshine and scattered wintry showers. It's a bit of everything for you. Feeling cold, maximum temperatures only 7 Celsius. But the good news is much lighter winds on Thursday, but it will cloud over after a bright start with some more rain likely on Thursday evening. So mixed bag, eh?
If you're looking for supply-only double or triple glazed units, make sure you visit the Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom on the Stugbrough Trading Estate or call 674 573.
It is coming up to 5:05 here on Update. Well, the upward pressure affecting international fuel markets is now feeding through into the Isle of Man's fuel supply. That is from the Chief Minister, who told the House of Keys this morning, we will see an increase in local fuel prices in the coming week. There was an urgent statement to members where Alfred Cannon said government was working closely with fuel suppliers, the regulator and the Office of Fair Trading to monitor the rapidly evolving situation. Here is what he had to say.
In the past 5 years, if they've taught us anything, it is that our island is not immune from the impact of global events. The recent events in the Middle East are no exception. One of the most significant areas of local impact to come will be on fuel prices. Since the start of the war, the island has been relatively shielded due to the infrequent way our supplies arrive when compared to the adjacent isle. However, the upward pressure of the international fuel markets is now feeding through into the island's fuel supply, which will result in an increase in local fuel prices in the coming week. I want to reassure members and the public that this government is working closely with the fuel suppliers, the regulators and the Office of Fair Trading to monitor this rapidly evolving situation. It is important to be clear, there is no fuel supply shortage on the island and there are currently no threats to our supply chain. Both major fuel suppliers have confirmed that deliveries remain on schedule and refinery loadings are proceeding as planned, with no foreseen disruption to physical supply. This is consistent with recent operational updates showing stable stock levels, even as demand has temporarily increased due to public concern. I do know, though, there will be significant price rises that will feed through to our shores over the coming days, and these price increases will cause concern for many. Of particular concern will be the potential significant increases in home heating oil for those in our community who rely on this method. The local fuel suppliers have confirmed they are monitoring the position, particularly with respect to vulnerable customers, and will continue to do so. I can also confirm to honourable members that the Council of Ministers is monitoring the situation closely through the Economic and National Strategy Board, which met again this morning and will meet again tomorrow. We will continue to develop a range of options to support the most vulnerable in our community should they be needed. For now, we need to be responsible in our decision-making, and we are conscious that the pressures we are likely to face could be here for a prolonged period of time. And meanwhile, I would ask too that we treat those people on the front line of fuel sales with respect and tolerance as they do their job. Madam Deputy Speaker, this is an evolving situation, and I do appreciate that price rises of significance will be of great concern in our community. As this government has proven time and time again, we can respond rapidly when the need arises. There are steps, of course, all of us can take as we approach increased prices, and it is important that we work together as a community. From a government perspective, we will remain in close contact with the suppliers and keep the situation and our options for action under constant review. Thank you.
That was the Chief Minister Alfred Cannon speaking in the House of Keys this morning. You can find that full statement on the Manx Radio website. We are going to be talking to the Office of Fair Trading tomorrow, so obviously this is a story that we will be keeping an eye on. 5:08. Well, the Infrastructure Ministers confirmed there'll be another ballot of Unite the Union members amid the ongoing bus strike. Drivers have been in a long-running dispute with Bus Fanon over pay and terms and conditions. And the fifth round of industrial action this year is due to take place over this weekend from Friday. Well, Tim Crookall told the House of Keys this morning that talks had been continuing with the union.
Industrial action was not paused on Monday, 16th of March 2026. Negotiations continued on Tuesday, the 17th of March, between the representatives of Bus Fanon, Unite the Union and the department. The meeting was constructive and productive. There is a ballot up and coming. I can't really do any more than that. Offers are being made and offers are being considered, and until we get any results back, then I can't give any more than that. I'm sorry. I think, as I said, I am optimistic and I try to be positive, and I can't tell them exactly what's changed, because things change, I think, probably, and I'm guessing here because I'm not in the meeting room, but things are changing. So offers are made and then offers are changed and that, but I am positive still. We're on the right foot, if you like.
Well, Mr. Collister?
He mentioned there was about to go to ballot. Can I ask the Minister when the ballot results will be known and will be made public?
The only assurance I can give, Madam Deputy Speaker, I think, is that both sides, I think, are trying their hardest to try and sort this out, and with the help of MERS in the middle. With regards to the ballot, that will be up to the union, I think, as to when they want to hold that, and I'm sure it'll be fairly soon, and then we'll get the result on the back of that. But I'm not going to second-guess when they're going to hold that ballot or try and guess when we're going to get the result.
Well, Ms. Edge? terms and conditions seems to be the sticking point. Is the minister doing anything around the terms and conditions and also making sure the employees are continued to be paid correctly whilst they are in strike action? I believe for the last 3 weeks that has not happened.
With regards to terms and conditions, that comes and goes in the discussions. You know, we were told they weren't up for discussion then, thankfully. Discussions are being talked and they do come into it slightly, so that's why I stay positive and hope that we can discuss those terms and conditions. And with regards to some salaries that were wrong, there was an issue there. It was purely coincidental that it happened in HR. There was nothing in that that the honourable member might be suggesting, looking at her face here, that it was purely coincidental that there was some issues with pay for some of the drivers.
Does the minister know if the union is actually supporting this ballot?
I have no idea at all whether the union supported or not, Madam Deputy Speaker.
Should
do. I don't.
Shocking.
That is the Infrastructure Minister, Tim Crookall, who is being questioned in Keys this morning. We have been in touch with Unite the Union. We are waiting to hear back from them to get their side on where things are up to. And of course, once again, as soon as we do that, we'll let you know. Now then, 11 minutes past five, and concerns about governance and transparency within Peel Town commissioners is continuing to escalate. Commissioner Katrina Baptist says issues around decision-making, record-keeping and potential conflicts of interest are not being taken seriously and believes they reflect wider systemic problems. Earlier this week, she published a video raising concerns and has now been speaking to us to expand on those claims.
I can't remember one set of minutes that hasn't been challenged by myself or other commissioners. We get thrown the response of, well, these aren't Hansard minutes, but I would counter that with, these are not accurate minutes. And the timing behind the release of these minutes means that we have, as commissioners, as elected members, we have to rely on our memory. Weeks later, we don't see the minutes until a few weeks after the meeting.
Conflicts of interest are obviously a major part of any sort of political office, and you've suggested that there may be some conflicts of interest which are not being declared or they're being ignored. Can you expand on that at all?
We do the bare minimum, which is the members are supposed to record their conflicts in a book. It's handwritten and it's kept under lock and key in the town hall. So members can access that book during office hours. You can't access it when it's not office hours. It's got lots of data in there that I don't, in my opinion, doesn't need to be in there because the book's ancient. I have GDPR concerns over that. But also, it's barely legible and it's not always kept up to date. I know that it's not referenced. I think that commissioners are there. We're elected to serve the people. We're not elected to serve ourselves or our own personal interests. And I don't feel that that's happening, and I don't feel like it's being taken seriously at the moment.
That is Peel Town Commissioner Katrina Baptist talking to Christian. So she says she'd like to see wider changes across local authorities, including recorded or broadcast meetings and clearer processes for declaring interests. Now, concerns about governance have also been raised more broadly, with Russian MHK Michelle Haywood saying such issues are not new.
I know I had discussions with the Chair of Peel as though we got the Local Government Amendments Act back into play and we're starting to try and get it through the legislative process. And I had a long conversation with the chair at the time, and he was objecting to the idea that they would have to publish minutes or they'd have to publish accounts and that those things were available but just appeal ratepayers.
I mean, as I say, Katrina Baptist is the one who's just saying minutes are inaccurate, communication's poor and some decisions aren't being properly recorded. How can that happen?
I think I could go back to my own experience when I was in Portsmouth area, and we had a very similar experience where I was writing my own notes during meetings, because when the minutes eventually appeared and it would be just before the next month's meetings when people's memories are starting to fade, we'd spend sometimes nearly an hour and a half going through correcting the minutes of the previous meeting to try and get things right. And I think there is a possibility that if you've got somebody who's not producing accurate minutes, that things can get lost. I'd love to encourage everyone to use technology now.
That is the former DOI Minister, Dr. Michelle Haywood, who is on Man in Line this week. Well, in response to all of this, Peel Town commissioners say that Ms. Baptist's comments are inaccurate and do not reflect the views of the board. It adds she will now be subject to an internal investigation following complaints about her misrepresentations of statutory processes and the unfounded personal attacks on her colleagues. The full statement from the board is on our website. It is a lengthy one, so do take a look at that, and we will have much more on this story as it evolves in Breakfast tomorrow.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Nothing specific to report on the roads this evening. Do obviously take care if you're out and about early hours tomorrow, because it could be quite icy on the higher routes. Obviously, the main thing, the sailings this evening and the return overnight have been cancelled. That's because of the weather. And then the sailing tomorrow at 8 a.m. to Heysham is under question as well. So a decision will be made on that first thing. All looking OK down at the airport then. And then around the island, it's the usual things. We're used to those lights at QA. Now, Braddon, the lights on Call Road near the Business Park, and Braddon Road just up from Braddon Bridge. In Castletown, temporary lights between King William's College and the airport. That's for water main works. And in Laxey, all week, temporary lights on New Road 24 hours a day. That is for work on the fire hydrant box.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Quayside. Quayside, 664417.
Head to Quayside Tyres and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate.
Quayside.
It's 60 minutes past five. We're just going to go back to something that was said in the House of Keys and regarding travel this morning, because the Infrastructure Department apparently may consider opening up Marine Drive if a situation like that caused by the Whitehoe roadworks happens again. That was when Whitehoe was completely closed. We know there are a couple of closures over the weekends in April. But answering a question in today's House of Keys, Tim Crookle, the minister, said using the Cliffside route, which has been closed for decades, had been considered.
But even coming in from the west, it affected everybody coming in from the west and the south. Yeah, and so as I said in my speech, you know, the traffic light systems were tweaked as well to help make a difference there. But at the end of the day, it was a major construction work that needed doing for 2 weeks, and it was going to cause it was organised chaos, if you like, for that 2 weeks. The volume of traffic coming in from the south into and from the west into Douglas, you know, it was the only way they had. I did actually suggest to the officers they go up and look at Marine Drive, but again, Marine Drive coming down there's a pinch point as you come down the industrial estate there, and it would have been chaos there as well. But I think for the future, as an emergency route, maybe we ought to look at that, because it is there and it's in quite good nick, except for a bit of on the roadside in one place. I think it's quite narrow, but it can be used. So I think we ought to look at that.
That is the Infrastructure Minister, Tim Crookle. What do you make of that suggestion then? Should we open up Marine Drive if we have a situation like we have done over the past few weeks? There certainly were quite a few tailbacks around Douglas, certainly around the Tesco car park as well. So yeah, it's good that that's back open again. 17 and a half minutes past five. Well, three Douglas councillors have said they're disappointed at a third delay to a debate about the Local Government Amendment Bill. During the Keys sitting this morning, the minister, Tim Crookle, said due to a meeting about the Northern Civic Amenity site on Monday, the bill will now be discussed next month. Well, local democracy reporter Emma Draper was there and has been talking to councillors Peter Washington, Stephen Crellin and Janet Tominey.
From my point of view, being the chair of the Municipal Association and with that hat on, I'm so disappointed, because there is a lot of good stuff in there that we really do need to get through. And yet everything hinges again on this Clause 5 and the amendments that we put through on the Clause 5. We thought we'd had all this resolved and this was going to be the final hurdle and everything should be done, and yet again we now find that we're having to wait. So I know it's important that we do get it right, and we do get it right first time, but it's just so disappointing that it's just again delayed, more delayed and more delayed. So it is very disappointing.
I'll just say we received a letter roughly around about the 20th of March from the minister saying that everything had pretty much been sorted out and it was going to be getting heard this morning. So it was disappointing to get an email this morning to say it was going to be adjourned. So, but just very, very disappointing. So
I'm just disappointed that the minister managed to give Mr Hooper a full and frank response to the questions about the Northern Civic Amenity site, when it's going to be open, reuse shed, etc., but then used that very same reason as the reason to adjourn the debate on Clause 5. So it's very disappointing, really.
Obviously, now there's a month until the next sitting when it'll be discussed. So what will you be doing in that meantime? Will you be carrying on lobbying, talking to your fellow local authorities?
The only thing that that we're left to do now is to take stock of this again and to keep the pressure up. We need this. We don't need any more delays. We need the pressure, keeping up the pressure to say that we need to get this amendment bill through, and it needs to be done in a proper way that we don't want to be coming back to it, and we don't want to have a disappointment that it's not what we want and it's not what they want. So, yeah, we'll be keeping up the pressure.
That was Peter Washington, Stephen Crellin and Janet Tominey talking to Emma Draper there, our local democracy reporter. I mentioned earlier when we were talking about fuel prices that we're going to speak to the OFT tomorrow. It's actually going to be on Thursday following their board meeting on Thursday morning. So we'll have an update on that situation then. Thank you very much to the chair of that OFT for letting us know. Now, a workshop taking place at Nobles Hospital this evening will focus on raising resilient teenagers and recognising early signs of worry and low mood. The event is being hosted at Kildare by I'll Stand Up to Suicide and supported by Public Health, and it'll be led by mental health coach Neil Kelders. Now, organisers say it's aimed at helping parents better understand the challenges that young people face. Paula Dunlop is the chair of the charity and has been talking to Simon about how the teenage years can be difficult to navigate.
Lots of recent information would lead us to believe that talking about, you know, the mental health crisis in our children suggests that it hasn't returned to the pre-2020 levels, and perhaps we are seeing more anxiety, depression, emotional problems. What's really concerning as well is that higher rate of social anxiety and dependence on AI chatbots for emotional support and not reaching out to other humans.
Surely, I suppose communication is a key, isn't it? Often, I suppose lines of communication with adults can be, or shall we say, strained.
Yes, yes, absolutely. To be fair, we've done the suicide prevention phone line. We're pitching at it for 18 plus. We would like to introduce for the younger age group, but a lot of adults feel quite anxious, quite nervous about communicating with teenagers. And I suppose a big part of that is about language, about how their perception of the world. And maybe it's slightly different from ours. You know, we grew up in a different generation, didn't we?
Indeed. And is it the case, though, that in some extreme behaviours in teenagers can, in fact, hide a lack of confidence?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. As a mental health professional, I see that time and again, that there's a lot of a kind of bravado, maybe an arrogance, uber confidence, and it does disguise a lot of insecurities in young people, but just not knowing how to communicate their needs with people.
That is Chair of I'll Stand Up to Suicide, Paula Dunlop, talking to Simon there. So that workshop this evening being held at Kildare. Doors open at 6:30. It starts at 7. You can find the story on our website. There is a link there to registration. Not sure actually if there are any places left, but if you are interested, go and check that out. And speaking of I'll Stand Up to Suicide, new recruits to the Isle of Man Constabulary are organising a charity quiz night in aid of them. So it's taking place in the south of the island on Friday and will include raffles, prizes donated by local businesses. Student police constables Saul Law and Luke Sweetman have been talking more about what's planned.
Suicides are increasing every single year. Predominantly so, just probably since the COVID pandemic.
Inevitably, you know, as you go into your policing career, this is something I'm sure you will see. So presumably it's something very close to your and your colleagues' hearts.
100%, yeah. Not just people we deal with on a day-to-day basis, but even within the police itself. We see a lot of things. We will come to a lot of fatals, a lot of sudden deaths and things like that. So it's supporting everybody. Even me and my background as well, being in the army and stuff, there was a lot of my friends who came out of the army or while they was in there suffered from PTSD. Yeah, so it's very close to my heart and I think everybody else.
So Luke, let's come to you now as we look ahead to the quiz night on Friday. Just tell us a little bit about what people can expect. Obviously there's the quiz, but there is a lot of raffle prizes and so forth up for grabs.
Yeah, and honestly, if I wasn't part of the organising team, I'd be putting a ticket in there. Some of the stuff we've got is brilliant. We've got steam packet vouchers, wine down, donated a bottle of wine. We've got £200 from a skin clinic, sort of dermatology sort of thing, and gym memberships, loads.
And people have clearly rallied. I mean, any kind of charity night, you know, organisations around the island, really keen to get involved, and this definitely seems to be the case here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think because the Isle of Man is such a small place, people want to look after each other and they know that mental health is, it's on the rise. It's good that it's being highlighted, and this charity, I think people are wanting to back One, because it's new and they want to help it, but it's just such a good cause.
That is Luke Sweetman and Saul Law both talking to Ben Hartley about that quiz. It'll be held at Russian Football Club in Port Erin starting at 6:30 on Friday. Entry, £10 a team, maximum of 5 people per team, no booking required. Best of luck, go and win. Sport here on Update is brought to you by The Print Shed. We say Fastamire this evening to Darren Timpson.
Fastamire, and starting with some TT news, there's set to be a 20-year-old newcomer on the mountain course this summer. Rhys Stevenson, who's from Skegness, will compete for Rocket Racing in the two Carol Nash Sport Bike TT races. He's set to ride on board a Triumph Daytona 660. On his debut, Stevenson says he's visited the island in preparation already, but he is hoping to learn and build confidence around the course. He adds he won't be going in with any expectations, and he's been working with Richard Milky Quayle and John Barton. He adds, in my first year, I'm hoping to learn the course and build confidence around the island. I'm going in with no expectations. In hockey, there was some history made by the Isle of Man under 14 boys team, who have made the final of the England Hockey Tier 2 Championship. They beat Oxford Hawks 3-1 on shuffles on Sunday after drawing the match 2-2 to progress from the semi-final. The Manx side had to come from behind twice in the game but held their nerve during the penalties. Backers Ryan Cartwright and Ramsey's Charlie Dahmer scored for the Island during the game, and Castletown's Chris Crompton Heavey scored the crucial winner during the penalties. They'll face Guildford boys under 14B in the final. However, there was disappointment for the under-16 girls team. They were beaten 2-1 by Norwich City in the England Hockey Tier 2 Plate semi-final. Amira Crookle scored late for the Island side, but it wasn't enough as Norwich progressed into the final. And in rugby, a group of 4 Isle of Man female rugby players have been selected to represent a team in the UK. Leona McGovern, Becca Hicks and Freya Kraut of Vagabonds will form part of Cheshire County. Meanwhile, Rashina McNair, who's also part of Vagabonds, will join the Cheshire Development Squad. The players will still remain with Vagas, however they'll have to travel off-island weekly to link up with their new teammates for training sessions and matches. Vagabonds are looking for sponsors to help with the players' travel and any logistical costs.
Darren, thank you very much indeed. Well, that is all from Update this evening. Lovely to have your company as ever. Coming up at 5:30, it's Countryside, and tonight Simon and Kiri looking back at the Young Farmers Concert 2026, speaking to all the movers and shakers. Honestly, it sounds like it was an absolutely brilliant night. Chris Kinley will be here at 6 then with Greatest Hits. At 9, it's the Folk Show with John Barker, playing more music from the Emerald Isle a week after the annual celebration of St. Patrick. And then at 10, Dave Moore will be with you with After Hours. So plenty to keep you company this evening. As I say, do watch out for those icy patches. That yellow weather warning in from 3. Update will be back with you at 5 tomorrow.